Yes for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, college football fans, and all the Army teams as they seek to beat Navy and win the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy. Yes for Football has more exclusive content available on Patreon at Ask for Football. You can also find out more information and sign up for our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe.
Hey friends, welcome back to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Or rather, today it's the Army Sports Show, since this episode features the return of Army Athletic Director Mike Buddy. James put this interview together with questions from Ask for Football's Firsty Club, and I gotta be honest, I have not heard it yet. So like you, I am very much looking forward to hearing what Mike has to say. He spoke with us for about an hour, and the guys told me it went really, really well, so I am super excited. Friends, if you're interested in giving input into these kind of interviews, or you just want more from Ask for Football, you can have that by helping support us through Patreon. Go to patreon.com/askforfootball to learn more. At the yearling level, you get our weekly games and locks of the week. At the cow level, you get that plus our scouting report, a report on how Army's opponents are doing that week. And at the Firsty Club, you get those bonus articles plus the aforementioned Firsty Club, our private Facebook group for our top-level patrons. This is the place to talk Army and just general college football because we're all super fans, we try hard to keep it positive, and importantly, it's a private group, so whatever happens there stays there. Firsties also get access to live show recordings so that they can interact with us during the show, and as noted, when we need questions for an interview with Mike Buddy, we go to the Firsty Club to ask them. Honestly, that input is invaluable, and we could not do this without their support. Reality is we've spent a lot of money over the past year trying to improve this show. We're now on StreamYard. We're using Podcastle AI to improve our sound quality. We've expanded staff to increase coverage of the American Athletic Conference football, and we've even developed regular recording times so folks can join us live and listen to these recordings. But all of that stuff takes time and money. This is why we need your support. Thank you. Now, let's get into this interview.
All right. Hey, we got a great episode for everyone today. It's always one of our most popular ones. We have Army Athletic Director Mike Buddy here with us. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, man. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah,
don't promise too much up front. A great episode. You have no idea.
Yeah, fair enough. A lot of times I'll meet up with fellow grads at football games and other events and such, and more than a few times, I've heard about how great of a job they think you're doing. So we really appreciate what you're doing, but also the time you're taking to hop on here. So let's start out. Last time we talked, West Point had a new superintendent. Now they have a new commandant. How's that transition going?
It's going great. You know, General Gilland, having been here as the comm, I think it maybe made a couple of our coaches nervous that he would still have his comm goggles on. But, you know, he has been nothing but an advocate. He has helped us every chance that he's gotten. And I think being the comm really helped because he understood our challenges and really, in my opinion, respects what the core squad athletes go through and what they're trying to accomplish. So nothing but support from the superintendent. And General Robinson is awesome. She's, you know, former rabble rouser, captain of the rabble rousers, came here as a 1-star just this past summer, just was promoted to a 2-star. So clearly a fast riser in the Army's ranks. And she's, again, to have kind of an advocate in the commandant's office who is, you know, as a rabble rouser, kind of went through the daily grind of core squad athletics has been really helpful. And she's a fantastic human being. So great things ahead for her. I would imagine a couple more stars in her future.
It's good to hear. And then the other sort of thing to clean up. So there was some pretty bad flooding. It was last July up at West Point. I know, you're probably not back to 100%, but how has that affected the sports teams? You know, what does that look like?
Well, as you would imagine, kind of when that hit, everybody gave a little, right? I mean, our baseball coach gave the rugby team the outfield of his facility to practice and stay in shape. I mean, rugby got hit the hardest. You know, they're down there on the plain of the Hudson, and the Hudson came up and the water coming down the hill came down, and it all kind of rendezvoused on the practice turf. The turf was floating, there were trees on it. So there's still a lot of recovery for the rugby program, and their, the facility itself is fine, but their practice field got pretty crushed. You know, some of our weight rooms were flooded, but those have finally been remedied. And, you know, the big fear is when you get standing water in your basement or a facility, is mold starting to grow. So that was the, we had to pay a lot of attention to that. But, and we're not 100% yet. Washington Road, that kind of goes past the Catholic Chapel and around towards the cemetery, that road's still closed. We had a lot of sinkholes. The road that leads down to South Dock is still closed because there were some sinkholes there. And, you know, the Army Corps of Engineers and everybody has been pitching in to help, but we're still kind of digging out of that storm. And we had another pretty big one a month or so ago that, you know, reopened some of those wounds. So, you know, the cool part about being at West Point is it's historic and old, but the crappy part is it's historic and old. So, all hands on deck. We'll be back to full strength by the summer, I'm hoping.
Ah, it's good to hear. All right. Well, let's start getting into the specific sports. You know, last time we talked, I think that it was mid-season for men's lacrosse and baseball and women's lacrosse, obviously. And all of those seasons turned out pretty damn well. So if you would, let's go through one by one. Baseball. So last year you hired Coach Chris Traz, won the Patriot League in his first year. First time someone's done that in a long time. You know, a lot of baseball alumni have offered a lot of praise. You know, one of the big questions coming in was, could he recruit like Coach Foster? I think a lot of people liked Coach Traz in a lot of ways, but Coach Foster was such a good recruiter when it came to players. And then Chris Traz brings in the number 64 recruiting class this year. So what's that secret sauce that allows him to come in right away and sign a really big recruiting class in the NIL era and the transfer portal era?
Yeah. Well, kudos to you for saying his last name right. Most people guess wrong. Traz, you know what, honestly, he's a threat to my democracy. Chris Traz would be a better athletic director than me tomorrow if he wanted to be. He's just smart enough to know that's not the road he wants to go. Yeah. He's a great recruiter because he's a parent. You know, he was an assistant coach here, so he understands the culture of West Point. The players love him. He's a player's coach. You know, he played Division I baseball. He's stayed in really good shape. So he's a hands-on type of coach. And that resonates. And the other thing he does is hustle his butt off. So he's much more visible at these recruiting events, at these showcases where you've got to be with his Army West Point gear on. And so he knows how to sell West Point. He knows how to sell playing baseball in this part of the country. Obviously he was getting great players at Marist with very few scholarship dollars to spread around. And so he doesn't have that problem here. If he can convince young men to come here and play for him, he knows he's going to develop them. And, but he's just got a great personality. You know, he's got charisma that, and he gives off that vibe to parents, because usually tough young kids who are good athletes who haven't gotten recruited elsewhere, they got a little chip on their shoulder, but you got to convince mom and dad that joining the Army, is a good thing. And so he's been really adept at doing that. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding when you can look at five consecutive championships and him being coach of the year in year one. Some of our guys playing in the minor leagues, a couple of guys getting a chance in the big leagues. Everything that you want. Great college education, a chance to play Division I baseball. Chris is really good at sharing that vision.
And speaking of transfer portal and that sort of stuff, you know, Army, I think, had one player transfer. Army baseball had one player transfer in the coaching change. You know, phenomenal pitcher down in Virginia, and I believe he's been drafted, although I think he's still playing college ball. But that's a pretty seamless transition, not just baseball, but how are the non-football sports, you know, dealing with the transfer portal, and how much is that? How much of an effect has that been on those sports?
So very little. There are certain sports where the transfer portal is more active. So men's and women's basketball is the main one. And that's where we did get hit, right? We had two all-freshman Patriot League players, and they both entered the transfer portal. Ironically, they've combined for 0 minutes, 0 points and 0 rebounds this year. So, you know, the grass isn't always greener. Lacrosse is another one, but I think Coach A and Coach Tumalo, and I know we'll get into that a little bit and their success, they do such a good job of genuine recruiting. And I would put Chris Traz and, you know, so many of our other coaches. If you sit down with a young person and you truly give them a realistic snapshot of what it means to be a cadet at West Point and the opportunities that lie ahead, they come here for the right reasons. And therefore, they understand that transferring to University X, Y, or Z, you know, maybe for a few more at-bats a year or a few more minutes of playing time, like that's not a huge upsell for these kids because they know what a West Point degree is going to do for them because we're so clear on that in the recruiting process. So, you know, anybody in the Patriot League, in my opinion, and maybe even the Ivy League, if you've got the freshman of the year in basketball, you're probably going to lose that young man or young woman. But the rest of our sports, if we're getting the right kids for the right reasons, they're sticking with us. Honestly, most of the kids that you might see that are entering the portal are doing it just because they've decided the academy's not for them and they're gonna leave anyway. So they throw their name in the portal in case maybe somebody will give them an opportunity to play for them. So, you know, once they affirm, as you kind of pointed out, it's a much different, much more difficult road. But we have not been, when that came out, I kind of was like, you know, holding my breath, what is this going to mean for us? And I've been pleasantly surprised that it really hasn't had an impact on us.
Gotcha. One more thing on baseball before we do move on to lacrosse. So schedule got released recently. There's all kinds of fun matchups. There's a three-way home-home and home series with Fairfield and Fordham. Should be kind of cool. There's some games down in Cary, North Carolina at the USA baseball training complex. And then there's a matchup with Air Force and two other schools down in Sugar Land, Texas. So as a former college baseball player, which one of those are you highlighting that you're excited about?
Well, you know, the Sugar Land operation, anytime you get to go down where it's warm, our guys practice in the hitting cage and in the indoor football center. I mean, just going somewhere where the sun's going to come out, you know, early on and get some repetitions of seeing fly balls against a blue sky instead of a white roof is going to be good. But, you know, anytime we play Air Force, anytime we play Navy's big, I think he's playing Penn State, which, you know, you get a chance to play a Power Five and, you know, no knock on Penn State, but like Big Ten baseball is not like Big Ten football. Those are winnable games against Power Five opponents, and Penn State's going to be really good. They just hired a new coach who's an excellent coach. But, you know, those are opportunities, again, just like our guys on the football field get really excited to play at Oklahoma or play at Michigan. You know, if Army can go and be competitive with some schools in Power Five, it's always a fun experience to look back on and remember.
Gotcha. All right. Well, let's get into lacrosse. So we'll start with the men. When I wrote this, it was before the most recent rankings came out. I said most likely to start the season in the top 10. They came in at number 8 in the polls. Coach A, you know, sometimes he's been, very undervalued early and he makes the quarterfinals. How do you think he and the team are handling all this extra attention coming into the year as a top 10 program?
Well, you know, I think they're still a little bit bitter, you know, the 0.2 seconds away from going to overtime with Penn State, you know, gave them a lot to work hard in the offseason. You know, what's awesome, and you kind of alluded to this, is, you know, a year ago, there weren't a whole lot of expectations for this program. There were a lot of question marks. And, you know, you talk about a coaching staff that knows how to develop young players. Coach Alberisi's a wizard. And I got to give a ton of credit to Justin and Kyle on his staff. I think one of the greatest things that Joe's done is being able to keep continuity with his assistants. That's such a big deal at a place like Army where you got to have, we've got a huge roster. So multiple coaches working with multiple athletes over a long time is great. But when you put Joe Alberisi and you give him a couple days to prepare a game plan, like he's as good as there is. And so, this is West Point, right? Humility is not a problem. Being number 8 preseason, Coach A is going to use that against his team and make sure that they understand that they are now the hunted. He's got phenomenal team captains that'll keep those guys level-headed. And, you know, you're only as good as your next game. And Coach A, as always, he's got, you know, Rutgers and Syracuse and Chapel Hill on the schedule. And, you know, and then the Patriot League's always kind of a bear to go through as well. So he'll have them ready. He'll have them humble. They will not be counting their trophies before the season even starts, because I feel like they know that there's unfinished business coming out of last year. I think they got a taste for how close they are to being an elite program. And I think it's awesome that the rankings reflect that.
So a little bit broader scope now. You've been at Army for three full lacrosse seasons. First season was 7-4, losing the first round of the Patriot League tourney. Second season, they were 12-4. They lost in the Patriot tourney finals. And then last year, obviously, they go 13-4, and they won the game in the national quarterfinals to get the, national first round to get to the quarterfinals. What has that process looked like? Gaining that momentum, the team getting better and better in the era that we talked about with, NIL and transfer portal. How does that momentum get going, and how do you continue that into future years?
Well, clearly it all starts with me. You were very kind in your introduction and saying a couple of people that you hang out with said good things about me. Athletic directors are like insurance brokers, right? Like you should never even know I exist unless something really, really bad happens. And then I need to kind of step up. So honestly, I try to support Joe and Michelle and support our lacrosse program, whether that's through prep school spots or admissions opportunities or facilities. But honestly, those types of coaches, they just need to know that you care, that you're present and that you'll do everything you can within reason. I'm blessed that neither one of them has unrealistic expectations. They're not coming in, gladly. Like they don't come in and ask for NIL money because they can't. But, we're about to explode their office buildings, right? They're in the east stands of Mikey Stadium, and they're just like, hey, just give us a place where we can meet with recruits and make phone calls. So they're very low key and low maintenance. And I think the progression for the men's team that you kind of specified, I already touched on it, right? I mean, it's Justin, and it's Kyle, and it's Joe, and they've been together now for all this length of time. And so the expectations continue to rise. And every time you have a good season, you recruit a little bit more talented athlete, and then you continue that momentum. And momentum's hard to stop once you get it going. And as long as we can keep those three on the staff and moving in the right direction, like this is a program that, at number eight, they might be still undervalued in my opinion. So again, I stay out of their way. I make sure they know that I will do everything within my power to get them what they need to succeed. But I think they take on the attitude and the mentality of their coach, which is rain, snow, sun, doesn't matter. We'll find a way to be competitive, and we're going to be tougher than you are at the end and find a way to beat you.
All right. So last year, Army plays a national quarterfinal game against Penn State, 0.2 seconds away from taking it to overtime. Yeah. And this game took place at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium, who hosts, hosts games often in the lacrosse NCAA lacrosse tournament. Now they have the Hall of Fame there and stuff like that, so it kind of makes sense. But whether it's for lacrosse or other sports, is there an effort to bring those national competitions to Army? Obviously, it's a little bit colder weather, so you have to fight that. But has there been an effort to bring those competitions to Army?
Yeah, and there will be more of an effort starting in 26 when the East Stands are done, because they'll be winterized and we don't have to worry about frozen pipes and all those things. It'll put us in a little bit better position to bid on those. But yeah, anytime that you've earned a home field advantage, you've got to take advantage of it. And I won't lie, it was pretty cool to be playing at Navy, and Navy was already at home on spring break or, done with their finals, and we were still playing at that late stage of the championship, which was pretty awesome.
I very much enjoyed seeing my press credential, Army versus Penn State with a Navy logo on it. It's kind of fun. All right. So Syracuse in the Dome again this year. You mentioned another Syracuse matchup along with Rutgers and UNC Chapel Hill. For a long time, Army played Syracuse in the Dome pretty much every year. I don't remember how far back that goes. I think, in the early O's. 2003 was the last time Syracuse came to West Point. The last 2 years, Army has not played Syracuse. They replaced that New York State rivalry with Cornell and did a home and home. And now Army back in the Dome this year. Is that a back to an every year thing? Is there a chance we'll see Syracuse come to West Point? Do we know what that looks like going forward?
Yeah, honestly, I don't. You know, Joe handles his scheduling. You know, I'll tell you, you know, like just like our football team, when we talked about the American Athletic Conference, when you start getting really, really good, it's harder to convince people to come play. And I'm not saying that's the case with Syracuse lacrosse. They're pretty damn good themselves. But yeah, I don't know. Joe does his own scheduling, and I don't know if there's a return game from Syracuse in the cards. But that would be pretty awesome to have a home and home and get them back down here.
Right. All right. Well, maybe we'll ask Coach A if we get the chance to a little bit later. Let's move on to the women's side. Hired Michelle Tumalo before 2022 season. Through 2 years, she's 27-10 overall, 15-3 in Patriot League play, regular season play, 3-1 against Navy with 2-2 in star games, and brought Army to their first NCAA tournament bid. You know, any similarities with the baseball program with sort of that seamless transition in the new coach?
Yeah, very similar in types of their personality and their charisma. You know, what Michelle Tumalo has that Chris Traz doesn't is just the reputation as a player. You know, this would be like, you know, as I learned, I didn't know that Michelle was this phenomenal of a collegiate and U.S. team athlete. But, you know, it would be like if we hired, you know, John Smoltz to be our head baseball coach. And that's the type of athlete that Michelle is. So when she's meeting in living rooms of these young ladies, that, you know, they've got signed Michelle Tumalo posters on their wall, which is, it's a pretty good start in the recruiting battle when you've got a coach's picture on your wall. But yeah, you know, she's exceptional. She's an exceptional human being. I mean, the level of care and concern that she has for our young people as future officers and young ladies, more so than their ability to play lacrosse, is it's tangible, it's noticeable. It resonates with the ladies on the team as well as our recruits. And timing was really good. You know, Michelle kind of had her first taste of head coaching at Wagner. Kristen Skyra kind of built an awesome foundation for that women's program and then, you know, left to go to Virginia Tech, got a great opportunity there. But she did a wonderful job of building the foundation, never had the chance to beat Navy, but left Coach Tumalo a pretty talented roster. And you give a great coach a good roster, and they're going to do really good things. So 27-10 is a great start, but there's a really, really high ceiling for that program, especially with that coach.
As a late 90s Yankees player, I hope you don't have as much disdain for Michelle Tumalo as you do for John Smoltz, but we'll leave it there. Army's playing, Army women's lacrosse playing five traditional P5 programs this year. I guess we're starting the P4 era here shortly, including three West Coast teams. Do you think that's a matter, you know, a function of Army making the tournament and these teams being able to call Army a quality opponent? How does that work, and how do you convince a team from Southern California to come to West Point in February?
Yeah. Well, yeah, honestly, that's the Tumalo effect.
Okay, gotcha.
She's got contacts and a network and a reputation. And now our team is in a position where you play us and you find a way to win, it's really going to bump your RPI. And I think West Coast teams realize that, you know, a lot of the national championships and the semifinals, you know, it's going to have to go through Baltimore or New York or New England. And so getting the opportunity to come here, get a road trip, it'll be interesting. You know, like you said, game one is Southern Cal here. Going to be a little bit chilly on 10 February when the Trojans come to town, but that's a good thing for us.
If you've listened to Ask for Football before, you will know that this show is sponsored by Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for Draper & Kramer in Chicago. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. Friends, Craig is one of the largest VA lenders in the country. He offers super competitive rates. He's going to give you the best deal he possibly can. This is important because the mortgage process is super confusing. Interest rates move all over the place. There's all kinds of crazy fees. Lawyers get involved. It's just not the time to deal with some clown who's trying to make a buck off of you. Deal with somebody who actually cares, who will answer the phone when you call, not some call center, not some random big box bank or mindless website. And again, friends, this is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we're trying to help you meet the man you need to meet if you're trying to get a mortgage or refinance your house. Plus, this is important, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That is a huge savings, like $1,300. $1,300! Get that money, friends. So, Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending. Check him out. The link is on our website. Just go to askforfootball.com, find his little business card there, click on it, fill out a quick questionnaire. You'll be talking to Craig personally, not some assistant, in a couple of hours. It is too easy.
Well, I think that wraps up those spring sports. Let's get into the one that everyone wants to talk about, which is football. I think we'll start off by talking about the Mikey Stadium, which you alluded to earlier. I think everyone's heard of the delays by this point. I think you talked last time about how it was sort of the worst timed project it could have been through nobody's fault, but here we are. So number one, are there any general updates that you can start us off with?
Yeah, I mean, all good news, right? I mean, we've secured $170 million, not one penny coming from the government. The big challenge was inflation. You know, we launched the project. When I got here, we thought it was a $95 million renovation. It turned out to be $170. And talk about a graduate base that has had enough success to be able to donate that type of money it's humbling. It's astounding. It's a phenomenal story. So we're waiting on the last approvals in the Pentagon that should be any day now. We're going to minimize kind of any interruption to the lacrosse season. We've got a good timeline that if we finish the lacrosse season, we'll start putting up fence and machinery, but we probably won't knock the stadium down until after graduation. It's just, you know, the president's coming this year at Mikey Stadium, and to have a big empty hole and construction site in the background, we're going to hold off on that. So we'll probably demolish in August. And then it's about 20 to 24 months of construction. So it'll be nonstop. It'll be messy. There will be some traffic. You know, there'll be a reduced capacity for the next two seasons. But the end product is going to be worth every penny and every headache and every gray hair that I'm in the process of gaining. It's going to be transformative for the Corps of Cadets and for, you know, all of the things that go along with it, like concessions and food options and beverages. And so there will be some headaches. Certainly, you know, we've had to move anybody who was in the East stands. We've had to find them a seat in the West stands. We're moving the Corps of Cadets to the North End zone. So we've had to move some people out of the North End zone, and capacity will go from about 37,000 down to about 30,000 for at least the next season. We're hoping the 2025 season, the risers will be done, and the cadets could at least stand on the east side and open up the rest of the stadium to sell. So all good updates, all exciting. When we start to see dirt moving, it's going to be even more exciting.
And you mentioned, you know, good for beverages. Is there a chance we see beer sales in Mikey Stadium in the near future?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the previous superintendent was on board with it. And then, to be honest with you, we were so caught up in Mikey Stadium and trying to raise money that, and with Lieutenant General Gillen coming on, I didn't want our first 6 months to be the conversation centered around beer sales. But, you know, Navy does it, Air Force does it. Of all fan bases, to really not have a whole lot of anxiety over behavior, you know, ours is, it wouldn't be a huge revenue generator for that reason, but I think it's a nice amenity. There will absolutely be alcohol inside the East stands in the club area and the suites, but we're looking at it for the whole stadium.
And then last question, you mentioned being winterized. Is it just going to be the East stands that get winterized? Is it going to be the whole stadium? And then how does that affect, you know, the ability for Mikey to host a stadium series game for the NHL or host a late season AAC championship game potentially?
Yeah. So obviously the East stands will be winterized. There is a plan to do the West stands as well. We're still working through the pricing on that, but the hope and the plan is winterize the whole thing, just for those reasons that you mentioned. Early December, American Athletic Conference championship game, and hell, we need to get the Florida Panthers and the Vegas Golden Knights here for an NHL series, a rematch of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, and is there a plan for if Army hosts an AAC championship game, say next year or the year after, before that, you know, the rest of the stadium is winterized?
Yeah, absolutely. We would have a temporary fix. You know, we normally play a late November game, so we would just have to extend a couple more weeks. And part of the plan is pray to God that it stays warm enough and we don't get a blizzard. But yeah, absolutely. We would know, you know, midway through the season if we're 4-5-0 and in the American, we'll start going into overdrive to make sure that's going to happen.
A possibility. Okay. Awesome. All right. So I want to go through some things you said last time, if you'll give me a little bit of a leash. Last time we talked about Army potentially joining a conference. First, you said, I think we'd be crazy not to consider it. Has anyone called me from a conference? No. It's my job after every fiscal year to sit back and say, hey, are we doing everything to maximize revenue? Anyone that sits here and pounds their fists and says we will never, ever do X, Y, or Z usually looks pretty goofy when they do precisely that. Well, Army football is now in the AAC. Can you tell us what that process is like? Obviously, there was a lot of, you know, there were rumors for a long time, more so maybe because Army was coming from independence, so you didn't have to keep things under wraps necessarily. From an AD perspective, how do you go from independence to a conference in this day and age in 1 year?
Well, slowly and methodically, but concurrently, and by that I just mean when it became apparent that this was not going to be an immediate hell no, we're not joining your conference. You know, all the other things that you have to deal with on the football side and the scheduling side and the preparation side and the government side, like we started all those balls rolling at the same time so that it wasn't like 4 months of conversations with the American and then it was like, holy crap, now we need to start all these other discussions. They were all going on at the same time. And honestly, you know, Commissioner Oresko, maybe a little bit before midseason, I think he was expecting SMU to do exactly what they did. And so, you know, probably 3 years ago, I don't know if you know this, but Army, UConn, UMass, we all get like a flat fee from the college football playoff. And it's a fraction of what other group of five leagues and teams make. And so about 3 years ago, I started calling group of five commissioners. So Keith Gill with the Sun Belt, et cetera, to just say, hey, what needs to happen for us to get a more fair share? And so I've spoken to conference commissioners, but never about, hey, what if we joined your conference? And so it was probably, maybe we were five games into the season this year, and Mike Oresko called and said, hey, if this happens, you know, and he had talked to Bob Caslin and Boo Corrigan, you know, several years ago about this, and General Caslin and Boo kind of said, now's not the time, we're not interested. And so he really just wanted me to say, hey, if it's going to be an absolute no, we'll start planning for other opportunities. And for me, the impetus was Jeff Monken, who had been pretty adamant that joining a conference was not the right thing for the program. He kind of did a 180 and said, hey, with where this is going, I'm really nervous that we won't be able to find 12 opponents, which was music to my ears because I was feeling the same suspicion. And, you know, I see Twitter and I read things and I know like the conversation is, hey, we should play Stanford and we should play Buffalo and we should play Syracuse. And I'm like, well, that's awesome. But Stanford and Buffalo and Syracuse have to say, yeah, we're willing to play you. And those agreements, and certainly not those three specific teams, but it's hard for people to, at some point, to convince your football coach, hey, you're going to go play Army. It's easier that we can't cut block anymore, but they still don't want to play our brand of football and, you know, risk injuries. And we're one of those really tough matchups where if you beat us, you're supposed to beat us. And if you lose to us, it ruins your season and it gets your coach fired. And so it was getting difficult to have that. So when Jeff Cronkin said, hey, I'm all for it. You know, the former athlete in me said, hey, don't be the jerk in the coat and tie who makes all these decisions unilaterally, right? So I asked Coach Monken to get his entire leadership council together, which is about 3 to 5 guys from each class year. So, you know, 20 football players. And we had a kind of a private meeting. And I said, hey, this is just between us. You don't need to put this on Twitter or Instagram, but you know, you're the ones that are going to have to make tackles and get concussions and lift weights and make this come to fruition. And what do you guys think about the American? And I showed him a draft of like our next 5 years of scheduled football games. And then I showed him a 5-year window of what it would look like in the American, just plugging in the existing American teams. And I'll never forget, you know, they all stared at the piece of paper and Bryson Daly looked up at me and said, "What am I missing?" And I said, "I don't know. Like, what do you need?" And he said, "There's no reason we shouldn't do this, right? Like, we can still play Navy. We're still going to play Air Force. We're still going to have the Commander-in-Chief Championship. And now we could be named first team All-AAC and play for that championship and maybe get one of the 12 spots in the college football playoff." And they're like, "What's the downside?" And I said, "Well, the downside is you're going to play the same teams more often than we currently schedule teams." And they were 20 for 20. They all said, "If you can make it happen, we support doing it." And so that was another, you know, so now I got Coach Monk and I got the players, and then you go to the superintendent and some of our donors and season ticket holders who I trust. And they said, "You'd be crazy to do it." We did it. We joined Conference USA. It was a disaster. And, you know, so that's the questions that I've been answering since the announcement. And frankly, you know, the difference is Jeff Monken's a difference. The momentum of the team, the stability of the team, the continuity of our football coaches. You know, we've got Nate Woody and we've got Mike Vitti and we've got Tucker Wall. And we've got so many people who have been here for the full decade of the Monken era. We are prepared to do this. And you know, with the rule changes, we don't run the true triple option anymore. And I'm sure we'll talk about, you know, the new offense as well coming up. But all of the arrows were just pointing in a direction of why wouldn't we join the league? And by the way, we're humans. And, you know, I'm not afraid to say this. Houston, Cincinnati, Central Florida, and SMU. Those are bangers of programs, right? And they sink a lot of money into their programs, and they're all left. They've earned a spot in the Power Five. So that makes that league a little bit more appealing to us as well. Like, you know, all those teams in there now are all in the $50 to $65 million budget ranges, which gives you a level playing field, or a more level playing field at least. And so Coach Oresco called me back. He said SMU's negotiating their way out. I called Anthony Noto, who runs a pretty successful business and has worked at some, you know, at Twitter and the NFL. And I said, help me think through what I should be negotiating. And thank God that's the long gray line, to have people like that you can call and say, "What should I be thinking of?" And we landed in a great spot. And yeah, it's going to bring more money. And what I love about Jeff Monken in this place is he's not expecting that money to go to him. He knows that money's going to help our lacrosse programs and our softball program and our volleyball and our track. And so those are just great opportunities to continue our relationship with CBS until that contract expires. We'll honor that. And then hopefully we've made a mark on the AAC sooner than later. And we've got a pretty good schedule. You know, the schedule is fairly favorable based on historic finishes. And so we're going to go in there this year with 8 opponents. And we're not going in there to finish in fourth place. You know, the goal is to win the thing.
Yeah. So, you know, last time we spoke, you said the schedule was full out, I believe it was 2035. Now, I don't know necessarily what full means, but it's a lot of games to cancel. You know, eight football games to cancel a year over 12 years like that. It's 96. And we had also had heard of things like Tennessee canceling, Ball State canceling. And so one of the things you had mentioned was trying to negotiate higher buyout clauses in future contracts, which, of course, you've made since then. How do you go about buying out a huge amount of football games like that?
Yeah, well, hey, exhibit A of me being a brilliant athletic director, right? Your buyouts 2 years before you have to start buying out all of your own contracts, you know. But that kind of illustrates too that, you know, 2 years ago we had no intention of joining your conference. Like, I wasn't even seeing that in the future. So shame on me. But here's the great part about being in collegiate athletics. There is a lot of collegiality. And so you said 90 plus games. We've probably remedied 90% of those games. And to his credit, my deputy athletic director, Colonel retired Dan McCarthy, who handles scheduling. Our consultant, Dave Brown, who runs a football scheduling company. Like, they've been at it 12 hours a day, you know, especially those first 2 weeks where we had to get the 2024 games out as soon as possible. And we begged and borrowed and stolen some games. We've pushed, and you know, some AD said, "Mike, I can't cancel the Army game. Like, our fans are excited about it, so can we just push it?" And so we've pushed some games to 2038, which I'd like to think that I'm the athletic director at Army in 2038, but the odds are against it. Others, they literally said, "Hey, if you can, if you or we can work together to find a replacement that's comparable, we'll tear out the contract." And so the huge majority have been of that variety. You find out who your friends are, right? And so, you know, Wake Forest and Syracuse and Liberty and so many of these schools just said, "Hey, we get it. Like, we're not going to sue the United States Military Academy. We'll find a suitable opponent." And so we've been very fortunate. There have been four or five that we probably will have to have some sort of financial settlement. Most of those in 24, just because there wasn't enough time for them to actually find a suitable opponent. So some we might have to pay a guarantee to another team to go play a team that we kind of left at the altar. But all in all, for what we budgeted, we're probably going to come in well under what our best guess was, and we wanted to be conservative, and we had plenty of money set aside to cover that. And so we're not done yet. We've got several series that we've just got to make sure that they land in a good place before we get the documentation that we're off the hook. But we're ahead of schedule from where I anticipated financially and just with the amount of games.
And I know, because there's so many cancellations, sometimes the schools play each other. So I think Syracuse and Nevada Las Vegas just announced a series over the next 2 years. Moving on. Before joining the American Army, I had an independent full-time for this upcoming season, and then an ESPN full-time for the following season. And no further, you know, bowl tie-ins had been announced up to this point. Did those just get put into the AAC pool, or does Army get priority on those, or how does that work?
So the ESPN bowl tie-ins will just be absorbed by the American. ESPN is their television partner, and we're scheduled, as you mentioned. So this year would be the Independence Bowl for us. And as of right now, our intent is to honor that bowl tie-in. But we have not had that conversation with the folks at the Independence Bowl. We did have an opt-out clause that we could opt out of it, but you know, that's a great bowl, and Shreveport has always received us with open arms. It's a great part of the country for the military. But yeah, there's a lot of options, and the American has some great bowl tie-ins as well. So we'll start biting that elephant one bite at a time, probably in the next month or so.
Is there any portion of the contract about Army playing or not playing in a bowl down in Annapolis?
There is not.
All right. So Army has a CBS sports contract, which during COVID you extended, which was a great favor that CBS Sports extended in hard financial times, I'm sure. And the AAC has a contract with ESPN to 2031. So Army CBS is 28, and then the Americans ESPN is 31. Navy plays their home games on CBS Sports. How is that going to work for Army home games?
Similarly. So our home games will be on CBS's network, whether it's streamed or on the big channel. Dan Weinberg, who kind of is our daily contact at CBS, has been nothing but a fantastic partner. And when Mike Oresko called me, I called CBS and said, "Hey, what does this mean?" And we talked through it. And, we're kind of about honoring the deals that we make. And so we're happy to fulfill that contract. And, again, you mentioned this, right? During COVID, they stepped up, and they were a true partner. And so it was important in the negotiations that the American and that ESPN understood that we weren't just going to pull the rug out from under CBS. So we're fortunate to have them as a partner, and we'll see what happens between now and 2028. You know, to your point, I think Navy extended theirs with some internal deal with the American that I don't have specifics to, but we just got to make sure that we take care of people who have always taken care of us.
Yeah. Sweet. All right. Last year, we talked about how Army Athletics plays a role within the military academy itself. You know, one of the big graphics that was released when Army joined the American was, here are all the schools in our conference, and here are all these massive Army bases near these schools. So broader question now, where do you see Army Athletics playing a role within the United States Army for recruiting, for, you know, just presence and awareness? How have you seen that progress since you've been the AD, and what does joining the American mean for that?
Well, you know, recruiting for the Army is struggling right now. And, you know, it wasn't on my radar 5 years ago when I got here in 2019. It's clearly a priority for the Army, and therefore it's a priority for West Point. And if it's a priority for West Point, then I have a hand in that. And so that graphic was strategic. We have always said, you know, Mikey Stadium and the Army football team, our national TV contract and getting people to come to the academy. Oftentimes football is the first interaction that a six-year-old young boy or girl has with the United States Military Academy. And so the impression that we make, you know, we want to be known as the gold standard. And that means we have a competitive football team. That means that we dress to a standard and we comport ourselves within those standards. And so to get the opportunity to travel to some parts of the countries where these heavy military bases are, we want to impress those young people, because if that helps, you know, it may help Jeff Munkin or Chris Traz if that kid happens to grow up to be a football or baseball player. But more importantly, for our nation and the security of our country, hopefully we make the impression on these young people that makes them sign up and decide maybe to join the Army or maybe to apply to West Point. And so it's important that we, when we travel, you know, the superintendent, he doesn't rest. You know, the football game, when the kickoff starts, is when he actually gets to take a deep breath, because he's meeting with admissions counselors and going to see high schools and visiting hospitals and all those things. And that's really important that we give him a reason to get to those parts of the country where, you know, he makes a quite an impression on young people as well. And so if we can help the Army in a small way by bringing attention, you know, that's our goal, is to be the one of the 12 in the college football playoff. If that doesn't help the Army recruit young people, I don't know what will. So it's important that we serve the mission of this academy, not unlike the commandant's directorate or the dean's directorate.
All right. So in the spring, you said you were working on a new contract with Coach Munkin's agent. You said you'd take the day off when that happened, and I believe that we owe you a beer for that. But how was your afternoon off?
It was great. And I bought myself a beer. There's no way to put it other than, yeah, you know, I'm not just saying this because, you know, he's my coach. There's no better pairing between institution and head football coach than Army and Jeff Munkin. I mean, the guy, he lives the values. Most people think that he went to West Point and he served because he just has the mentality and the tenacity and the fire that you would want in any fighting soldier in this country. And so for him to make an impact, to help develop these young men, to educate them and train them and inspire them, he's a perfect match. And part of that means, you know, one of my favorite sayings that I've heard Coach say is, don't bitch, transfer. I mean, you think there's a Power Five coach out there who has the courage in this transfer portal society and name, image, and likeness to go up to any player on his team and say that? But he holds them accountable. And if, you know, if they're having a pity party, he'll call you out on it. And I just love it because you know, these young people need accountability. And as you know, right, you come to West Point, like you can take criticism, you can handle those types of things, and you understand that it's going to make you better. And you also understand, and Monk's the perfect example of this, he cares about these guys as humans. He knows their parents, their high school coach. He knows everything about them because he cares about them as human beings. And that, you know, that affords you some I think some flexibility to ride them a little bit harder, to expect a little bit more out of them. And coach has just done a great job of getting the most out of the young men that he brings into his brotherhood. And so, yeah, thrilled that he's signed up for a little bit more. And really excited to have him leading us into this next episode of Army football in the American Athletic Conference. And damn glad that we're going into it with the Commander-in-Chief trophy safe and secure where it belongs.
A lot of rumors over the past 5-7 years, maybe not quite seven, but Illinois was rumored to interview with Coach Monken. Kansas was interviewed. A lot of Power Five jobs. Obviously he just signed a contract extension. There were a lot of rumors that when he brought in this new offense, it was to make himself more appetizing to those Power Five programs. Where, as an athletic director, where do you sit? What's your opinion on or your confidence that he's still going to be around by the end of his contract?
Well, I think one of the blessings is there are other athletic directors out there who just think, well, he runs triple option. That's the type of coach he is. Kenny Niumatalola is now going to get the opportunity to run a football program on the West Coast, and he's not going to run the option. And my instinct is he's going to have a lot of success because he's a good leader and he's a good head coach. Head coaches are the CEOs of their program. So there is no chance in hell that Jeff Monken wanted to tweak our offense to make himself more marketable. He's not wired that way. And if he did, he would have run a much different offense. The tweak of the offense was to try to force defensive coordinators on the other sideline to have to defend more of the whole of the entire field. He had a great line that I love to repeat, which is, if you look at the last six Army Navy Army Air Force games, on any given play, if somebody dropped a grenade in the middle of the huddle, all 22 players are going to be dead. Because no one was on the edge, no one was deep. All 11 on both sides of the ball were huddled in between the tackle boxes, and we just tried to push for 2 and 3 yards. So that was the impetus to change the offense. Coach is either going to be marketable to an athletic director who has the courage to see that he's a great CEO and a great leader, or not. And to me, I love that no one has decided that he's the right leader for their program, because I know that he's the right leader for this one. I'm confident that we won't get to the end of the contract, because in 3 years we'll start talking about a new one. And so we'll never kind of get to a sunset provision where, hey, it's the last year on your contract. The coach is always going to have multiple years out on his deal. The guy is in his mid 50s. He's built like he's in his early 30s, and his energy level and his aggression level is also in the mid 30s. So feel really good about where we are. Feel really good about the offense. I think it took a level of humility for coach to kind of realize, mid to late in the season going into that Air Force game, he removed all emotion from it and watched video and made the decision that what we're doing isn't working the way he anticipated. And it takes a courageous, I think, humble person to make that decision mid-season and say, hey, we still got time to make some adjustments. And so he made those adjustments that involved a lot of our staff. Everything went right in Denver and we had a great win, and everything went wrong for Air Force, it was one of those games where the ball just kept rolling right into our guys' hands. So, a great outcome there. And then we were able to continue the momentum. And interestingly enough, we kind of got to the Coastal Carolina game where we ran this hybrid, Cody Worley had input, Drew Thatcher's still running the offense. And then Cody had a much more hands-on, and that was the best I thought we played offensively all year. And then in true Coach Monken, for the next game, in Gillette Stadium, we went back to what his vision was going into the season, because that offense he knew would work against Navy. And so he's a heck of a lot smarter than I'll ever be when it comes to X's and O's. I trust him implicitly in every facet of his program, and you can buy me a beer if you want, but literally no one's happier to have gotten that extension done than I am.
So going into, you know, we talked about the transfer portal and NIL when it comes to non-football sports. Is there a difference when it comes to football? Obviously, it's a little bit bigger news when a football player decides to transfer. What does that look like? What does recruiting look like in that era?
Yeah, I mean, football recruiting at the academies is crazy, just for the sheer volume of players that we have to kind of get on our radar, because we have such attrition once you get to the academy. And Coach and his staff do a wonderful job with that. You know, our coaches essentially coach two teams because our roster is so big. You know, the transfer portal, kind of not unlike basketball, right? If you find an Andre Carter like we did, you know, 7 years ago, it's going to be harder to keep him under the radar. When you look at the sophomore season that Andre had, it's going to be tough to keep a kid like that on our roster. But we don't get guys like that very often. You know, our whole premise is, you know, the sum is, you know, better than the collection of the parts. And so as long as we just keep having good players, it's more noticeable when a guy, you know, basketball or football enters the portal, for sure. They usually have more Twitter followers, and, you know, there are websites out there that track that stuff. And so, you know, in terms of some of our recent affirmed cadets who have entered the transfer portal, every cadet goes through their chain of command, and, you know, the superintendent has to approve any resignations that are requested. And so, you know, nothing's guaranteed. Just like any other cadet at the academy, there's no exceptions because you're an athlete. But the transfer windows make it as such that you throw your name in there, because if you do, you know, if you qualify to be to resign, you got to have a place to land. And so that's just something that we keep our eyes on. And, you know, that's one of the great parts about being the athletic director at an academy is I'm kind of out of those decisions, right? I'm not in their chain of command. And so that's an academy decision that we'll see how those play out.
Comes to recruiting, one of the big items coming supposedly this summer is the new college football game from EA Sports. Last time we talked, you were talking about how it was still in the works. The big issue being that Service Academy football players can't receive NIL money. Any news on whether Army or other Service Academies will be a part of that game?
Yeah, we anticipate that we will. Whatever you call them, the players on the screen won't have names on their jerseys. We were trying to see if we could get a collective, you know, funding from the game, and instead of giving it to the cadets, investing it back into, you know, the cadet activities or something here at the academy that doesn't go directly to the cadets, but it would support some of their initiatives or some of their equipment. So we're still working through that, but it does appear that the academies will have teams in the EA Sports game. They just won't be paid for it.
Okay.
Awesome. And it won't say Bryson Daly on their jersey. It'll just be a quarterback running the option.
So this next one, you know, we ask our first D-Club members every time we interview you if they have any questions. And so that the EA Sports college football game was one of those. And another one had to do with Bill Wagner of the Capital Gazette put out a column in his newspaper. And I'll just quote what he said. So Army's roster includes 10 seniors that should have graduated and another 5 juniors who should be seniors. Among them are numerous starters and key contributors. Because Army grants football players an extra year of eligibility in case of hardship or injury. You publicly took issue with this. The article made claims about Army athletics without first asking you or someone in the athletic department for a comment. Had the columnist afforded you or the department a chance to comment, what would you have said?
Well, I would have said no comment.
Fair enough.
But what I would have said is, Bill, his column intimated that their senior that the article was written about, if he were at Air Force or Army, he would have a fifth year of eligibility and would be allowed to play, which is patently false, couldn't be further from the truth, and couldn't be further from fact. And so what I asked Bill, and by the way, like another horrible AD move, right? I did it on Twitter, which, you know, I shouldn't have done, because because the narrative became, you know, Navy fans saying, are you saying you didn't have 10 50-year seniors? Which wasn't the point. The point was, he wrote an article that said this player, if he were at Air Force or Army, would be given a fifth year. And so my question was, well, who at Air Force did you talk to that confirmed that? And who did you talk to at Army that confirmed it? Because I know he talked to no one. Most likely a coach, I would guess, said, hey, this is what happened. So he wrote it. And in Bill's defense, he pointed out that it was an opinion column. Although when you write an article for a newspaper, I don't know that people assume it's your opinion. I think a lot of people think that it's a piece of journalism. So I should have taken the high road and stayed out of that. But my question was, hey, if usually when a reporter writes a story, they at least reach out to say, hey, I'm going to write this story. Is this factual? And I would have said, it couldn't be further from factual. If you still want to write it, write it. And I'm not going to comment publicly, but that was, you know, that was it. And so I had not spoken with Bill. Bill's a professional, and that's, I think, probably part of why I was disappointed. But the narrative quickly became, you know, that do we or do we not have people who played in 2019 who were still on the roster in 2024? And that wasn't the intent of that. That wasn't what I took offense to. So I've learned to keep my mouth shut on social media.
Something we all need to learn. last thing we're going to talk about is the schedule coming up. A few more questions from the First Tee Club, but AAC released home and away opponents for the 2024 season. Dates are reportedly coming in February from the American. Home opponents are Rice, which originally was an away game before joining the conference, East Carolina, Texas San Antonio, and then UAB. Away games are Temple, North Texas, Tulsa, and Florida Atlantic. That's eight. And then there is the addition of Air Force at home, announced on November 2nd, and Navy will be in Landover, Maryland, as this year's Army-Navy game. Again, non-conference opponent has been put out. That's at 10. Lehigh put in their game notes they'd be playing at Mikey Stadium on August 31st. It did say subject to change. But if that's true, then that's 11, and that leaves Army with one game left. So can you confirm or deny any of those reports or tell us who the 12th game is yet?
Well, we had a deal for Alabama to be the 12th game. They were coming to Mikey Stadium, but it was just a handshake deal with Coach Saban. So I don't know if that's still going to be honored. I'm completely kidding. We did not have a deal with Alabama at any point. We've got a deal with a Power Five program that's close to being finalized, but we don't have anything to announce at this point. But excited for the opportunity to have a Power Five opponent. Also excited for the possibility maybe to go to Boca Raton in November.
Yeah.
To play FAU. Excited for that schedule. I think our fans are going to like having some of these schools come to Mikey Stadium. And you know, these first several times, I think the opposing fans are going to take advantage of the bucket list that Mikey Stadium is and bring some pretty good crowds to the stadium.
And is that sort of the plan? So you have eight conference games, you have two CIC matchups, brings you to 10. And then is that sort of the scheduling matrix of, okay, there's our 10. After that, we're going to try to get an FCS game. That we have our one bowl eligible win with, and then a Power Five program.
Yeah, loosely, with some of our having to reschedule, it may not be like that every year. There's levels of Power Four as well, right? I mean, playing Boston College, Wake Forest, Syracuse is different than playing LSU, Michigan, Oklahoma, right? I mean, the paycheck is different, the level of competition is different. And, you know, if you're following the NCAA, there's likely to be another level that now is going to pay every kid whatever they want to pay them. That, you know, I don't know what they call that, you know, NFL, I guess, is what you call that. And then you'll still have some Power Five schools that are left. And so we'll see where that goes. But, yeah, I mean, loosely, you know, the two academies, an FCS and a Power Five, I think puts us in a really good position.
Gotcha. And is there any update on that potential Oklahoma return game from 2020?
We've got it scheduled out, but it's not in the near future.
Okay.
We were hoping in some of this, not only our conference shift, but in their conference shift, because they're joining the SEC, mm-hmm. we were hoping to maybe bump that up, but it didn't happen.
Right, because they'll have one less conference game on the schedule every year in the SEC, at least in the near future. Gotcha. All right, and then the last question we have, Mikey Stadium under the lights. I believe there was a Fordham game a while back. Rice in 2019 was the last one. Is there a chance that we see a night game at Mikey again in the near future, potentially this year or no?
Yes.
All right.
you will see a night game at Mikey Stadium this year.
Oh, awesome. That is good to hear. That's one of my favorite experiences. All right. Rob, you got anything else from the First Club or from yourself?
No, I don't. We really enjoyed the interview. Thanks for stopping by, as always. We really appreciate this. Getting the word out is just as important as, looking and watching the games. Because I think as a fan's perspective, I think there's a lot of things that get demystified when we get to chat with you. Because a lot of people have opinions, and of course they get in the echo chamber of the social media, and they kind of lose the bubble on really what the teams are doing. So it's always great to have some clarification as we go through the season.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. I also love that you guys brought up baseball and lacrosse and some of our other teams that are working real hard to make us proud, that don't get to do it in front of 40,000 fans. So always great to talk to you guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much. I know everyone, as I said, I guess I can say it now. It's a great episode. it's always one of our most popular. So thank you so much.
Yep, happy to do it, guys. Great to see you again. Go Army.
So, friends, do you like Army football but hate social media? Who doesn't? I mean, social media is terrible. So instead of arguing with NavyDaddy69 on Twitter, go to askforfootball.com/subscribe and get on our mailing list. We send out one email per week with links to that week's content. It is too easy. Keep up with sports with Ask for Football. Finally, friends, there's a lot going on with Army sports right now. Lacrosse starts in a couple of weeks with both the men's and the women's teams ranked in the top 10 and top 20 respectively, and also boasting preseason All-American players. All-Americans. It's crazy. Plus, women's basketball just beat Navy. Baseball is ramping up. And, there's just great stuff going on Army sports all over Post. So look for another show from us in the next week or so to talk about that. Until then, thank you very much for joining us. Go Army, beat Navy.
Thanks for listening to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Tune in next week as the Ask for Football team brings you more Army football and American Conference analysis. We'd like to thank our patrons, particularly the Firstie Club, for supporting the show. If you're interested in joining the Firstie Club, go to patreon.com and search for Ask for Football. You can access more content on our website by signing up for our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe. Thanks for listening to the Army Football Show. And as always, beat Navy.